KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:03, it's cloudy. There's a little mist or drizzle in the air. It's 52 degrees in Atlantic. We look for mostly cloudy skies here today with scattered showers and a high around 60. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Officials in Shelby County heard from concerned citizens during a regularly scheduled meeting of the Shelby County Supervisors on Tuesday morning. The residents voiced their concerns over the proposed construction of a hog confinement facility. Under the proposal by John Arkfeld of Arkfeld Pork, construction would take place at the intersection of Mulberry and 2400th Street. County officials, along with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, went through the process by first announcing the proposal through a public notice and then had an on-site inspection last Tuesday. Following the inspection, the DNR and the Shelby County officials went on to go through the process of the master matrix. There are many items on the master matrix and is scored on a point system. The area of land designated for the construction of the hog confinement was approved with a score of 465. The score to pass is 440. However, neighboring citizens are concerned about water usage for the hogs, along with water quality and smell. Shelby County Auditor Marcia Carter said she received four written comments, with the first being a petition against the construction.
We, the undersigned neighbors, protest the building of the wean to finish hog facility by Arkfeld Pork on the southeast corner of section number 6 of Greeley Township, Shelby County, Iowa, land owned by Robert Arkfeld. We, the undersigned, believe our quality of air and water will be compromised. We also believe the depth of the well and the volume of the water to be used by Arkfeld Pork will compromise our shallow wells. Because of these reasons and an already established sow unit in the same section, we ask the supervisors to take all this into account before allowing this unit to be built.
The petition was signed by 10 residents in the area. Tim Gravy, another resident, wrote a letter to the county in favor of the construction with a few considerations pertaining to an adjustment in where the site was at and for road upgrades.
I met with the Arkfelds and asked them if they would relocate the facility to the northwest of the intersection to eliminate the odors carrying in from a southwesterly flow of air that occurs quite frequently in the summer months due to our proximity to the site. This would locate the facility basically straight west of our residence versus southwest. They agreed immediately that it would not be a problem to relocate and understood our concern. Also, I stressed that all rules established for sites like this must be strictly followed for the good of all the neighborhood and the environment. Another concern will be getting a commitment from our county government to improve the road that leads to the facility, as it will not handle the increased truck traffic weight in its current state. After years of dumping sand on the road, the base has deteriorated so severely that small amounts of rain or snow turn the road into a mud pit. A base must be established before the facility is complete. This needs to be addressed immediately and be kept up like the road to the dairy near Harlan.
The proposed hog confinement would hold about 10,000 head of hogs. Other concerns discussed by those in attendance were with regard to manure being transported in the area, dust on the roads, and more well issues. After the residents at the supervisors' meeting spoke, John Arkfeld, one of the proprietors for the hog confinement being discussed, offered a response to those concerns.
You know, one of the concerns was the water, and I get that. And, you know, like I said, this is a 9,600 head unit is what we're permitting it to, but when the pigs are fat, they're only going to be 7,200 head there. And at a finished head space at 7,200, they say you use 1 to 1.2 gallons of water a day. So you're talking less than 8,000 gallons. I was talking to Seth. He said that the mash house is a lot farrowing units too. He says those farrowing units use 4 to 9 gallons per head per day. So you look at the farrowing unit. I'm not sure the exact numbers of their farrowing unit that is. I talked to my uncle Ken. He used to work there. He said he thought there's usually around 2,000 head of sows there. So you use 2,000 sows, 4 to 9 gallons. That's going to use almost twice as many gallons of water as what I'm using. So I don't think that should be an issue.
Arkfeld said he should have been in better contact with the residents in the area before the notice went out to the general public, and he apologized for that. Again, the supervisors approved the master matrix for Arkfeld Pork because they said it met the state required points, and it now goes to the DNR, who has the final say over whether the construction permit will be approved. 40 Shelby County residents recently participated in Shelby County Leadership 2013, a program designed to maximize the strengths and skills of current and future community leaders. Shelby County Leadership 2013 included two sessions focusing on topics that included understanding ourselves and others, dealing with conflict, understanding change, and leading effective meetings. The program was sponsored by ISU Extension and Outreach in Shelby County, SCOPE, and an Iowa West Foundation grant. The training sessions were taught by Jane Geckin, ISU Extension and Outreach Community and Economic Development Program Specialist. The Mills County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest on Saturday of 20-year-old James Dale Ahrens, Jr. of Council Bluffs. Ahrens, Jr. was charged with trespassing, and he was wanted on warrants out of Fremont County for failure to appear and in Council Bluffs for felony vehicle theft. Ahrens, Jr. was taken into custody at around 2:45 p.m. and held on a $10,300 bond. Earlier that same morning, 23-year-old Jonathan Charles Christie of Omaha was arrested in Mills County on a charge of public intoxication. His bond was set at $300. A Sioux City man has been sentenced to 25 years in prison for his role in connection with a fatal crash near Sioux City. KTIV reports 19-year-old Oscar Ramirez was sentenced this week in Woodbury County District Court. Ramirez had pleaded guilty to vehicular homicide. Investigators say Ramirez was the driver of a sports utility vehicle that crashed on January 30th. The vehicle rolled several times and landed in a pasture. 18-year-old Nino Segura of Sioux City was thrown from the vehicle and died at the scene. And officials are blaming an outbreak of the norovirus for an illness that sickened dozens of students at a Sioux City elementary school. The Siouxland District Health Department announced Tuesday the lab results showed the virus caused more than 40 students and three staff members at Bryant Elementary School to become ill on Thursday. Another 33 students reported being sick last Friday. Norovirus is a common foodborne pathogen with symptoms that include vomiting and diarrhea. Health Department Director, Deputy Director Tyler Brock says it's unclear where the illness originated or if it was contracted at the school. Taking a look now at national news headlines, an Italian court has ordered a trial for the captain of the cruise ship that struck a reef off of Tuscany last year, killing 32 people. Francesco Scatino's trial is scheduled to begin July the 9th in the Tuscan town of Grosseto. The captain of the Costa Concordia is charged with manslaughter, causing a shipwreck and abandoning the ship, while as many of the 4,200 passengers and crew were still on board. He denies the charges. In this country, the head of the Federal Emergency Management Agency said U.S. officials are going neighborhood to neighborhood to make sure Oklahoma gets the help it needs. FEMA's Craig Fugate promises in a CNN interview that officials won't desert Oklahoma. He said the agency has enough money to assist the people of Moore who were caught in the path of destruction as a nearly 1.3-mile-wide twister struck Monday afternoon. Train service is back on schedule for Connecticut to New York City commuters this morning. A section of track damaged in last Friday's derailment has been repaired. A spokesman for the operator of the Metro North said we're back at full strength. More than 70 people were injured in the evening rush hour crash. One person is still listed in critical condition. Taking a look at the funeral announcements this morning here on KJAN. Mary Alice Peters, age 77, of Avoca, died Friday at her home. A massive Christian burial service for Mary Alice Peters will be this morning at 10 o'clock at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Curtis Scoop Eshelman, age 85, of Mesa, Arizona, and formerly of the Noble Township and Council Bluffs areas, died May the 15th. Funeral services for Curtis Eshelman will be today at 11 o'clock at the Griswold United Methodist Church. The Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Irene Kinkel, age 93, of Erling, died Sunday at the Little Flower Haven Nursing Home. A massive Christian burial service for Irene Kinkel will be held today at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Harley Nielsen, age 87, formerly of Council Bluffs, died Friday at the Hospice House in Omaha. Funeral services for Harley Nielsen will be today at 11 o'clock at the Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton. Earl Manford Mutum, age 62, of Walnut, died Monday at Murtu Medical Center. Graveside services for Earl Mutum will be held today at 3 o'clock at the Monroe Township Cemetery in Walnut. Joyce Wright, age 86, of Casey, died Saturday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Joyce Wright will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Casey. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Leo Chaffa, age 80, of Bridgewater, died Saturday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Celebration of Life services for Leo Chaffa will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Bridgewater United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Anchor Christian Rasmussen, age 92, of Harlan, died Tuesday at his home. Funeral services for Anchor Rasmussen will be on Friday at 10:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Norman Lee Blunk, age 85, and C. Maxine Blunk, age 87, both of Atlantic, died August in 2010 and December 2012, respectively, at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Combined memorial services for Norman and Maxine Blunk will be Friday at 11 o'clock at the Wyota United Methodist Church. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Robert K. Nelson, age 59, of Menlo, died Saturday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Graveside services for Robert Nelson will be Friday at 11 o'clock at the Dexter Cemetery, with a Johnson Funeral Home and Stewart in charge of arrangements. Larry Sleister, age 70, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Memorial services for Larry Sleister will be Friday at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Joanne Renicky of Avoca died May the 16th in Avoca. Services for Joanne Renicky are tentatively set for 10:30 a.m. Saturday at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Gary Malik, age 65, of Overland Park, Kansas, and formerly of Denison, died December 4th in Kansas City. Memorial services for Gary Malik will be Saturday at 11 o'clock in the Harlan Cemetery. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Leah B.B. Chadwick, age 90, of Summerfield, Florida, died March 22nd. Graveside services for Leah Chadwick will be Saturday at 4 o'clock at the Evergreen Cemetery in Anita. Ockenberry Family Care Funeral Home has the arrangements. Marvin Steffens, age 84, formerly of Atlantic, died Saturday in Kingman, Arizona. Funeral services for Marvin Steffens will be on Sunday at the Cross of Christ Church in Kingman, Arizona. Sutton Funeral Home in Kingman is in charge of the arrangements. Roger C. Hagedorn, age 85, of Manning, died Tuesday at the Manning Hospital. Services for Roger Hagedorn are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. And that's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.